Letting go. The phrase letting go has to be high in the running for New Age cliche of the century. It's overused, abused daily. Yet it is such a powerful inward maneuver that it merits looking into, cliche or no. There is something vitally important to be learned from the practice of letting go. Letting go means just what it says. It's an invitation to cease clinging to anything, whether it be an idea, a thing, an event, a particular time, or view, or desire. It's a conscious decision to release with full acceptance into the stream of present moments as they are unfolding. To let go means to give up coercing, resisting, or struggling in exchange for something more powerful and wholesome, which comes out of allowing things to be as they are, without getting caught up in your attraction to or rejection of them, in the intrinsic stickiness of wanting, of liking, and disliking. It's akin to letting your palm open to unhand something you've been holding on to. But it's not only the stickiness of our desires concerning outer events which catches us, nor is it only a holding on with our hands. We hold on with our minds. We catch ourselves, get stuck ourselves, by holding, often desperately, to narrow views, to self-serving hopes and wishes. Letting go really refers to choosing to become transparent to the strong pull of our own likes and dislikes, and of the unawareness that draws us to cling to them. To be transparent requires that we allow fears and insecurities to play themselves out in the field of full awareness. Letting go is only possible if we can bring awareness and acceptance to the nitty-gritty of just how stuck we can get, if we allow ourselves to recognize the lenses we slip so unconsciously between observer and observed that then filter and color, blend and shape our view. We can open in those sticky moments, especially if we are able to capture them in awareness and recognize it when we get caught up in either pursuing and clinging or condemning and rejecting in seeking our own gain. Stillness, insight, and wisdom arise only when we can settle into being complete in this moment without having to seek or hold on to or reject anything. This is a testable proposition. Try it out just for fun. See for yourself whether letting go, when a part of you really wants to hold on, doesn't bring a deeper satisfaction than clinging. Non-judging. It doesn't take long in meditation to discover that part of our mind is constantly evaluating our experiences, comparing them with other experiences, or holding them up against expectations and standards that we create, often out of fear. Fear that I'm not good enough, that bad things will happen, that good things won't last, that other people might hurt me, that I won't get my way, that only I know anything, that I'm the only one who doesn't know anything. We tend to see things through tinted glasses, through the lenses of whether something is good for me or bad for me, and whether or not it conforms to my beliefs or philosophy. If it's good, I like it. If it's bad, I don't like it. If it's neither, I have no feelings about it one way or the other, and may hardly notice it at all. When you dwell in stillness, the judging mind can come through like a foghorn. I don't like the pain in my knee. This is boring. I like this feeling of stillness. I had a good meditation yesterday, but today I'm having a bad meditation. It's not working for me. I'm no good at this. I'm no good, period. This type of thinking dominates the mind and weighs it down. It's like carrying around a suitcase full of rocks on your head. It feels good to put it down. Imagine how it might feel to suspend all your judging and instead to let each moment be just as it is, without attempting to evaluate it as good or bad. This would be a true stillness, a true liberation. Meditation means cultivating a non-judging attitude toward what comes up in the mind, come what may. Without it, you're not practicing meditation. That doesn't mean judging won't be going on. Of course it will. because it's in the very nature of the mind to compare and judge and evaluate. When it occurs, we don't try to stop it or ignore it any more than we would try to stop any other thoughts that might come through our mind. The tack we take in meditation is simply to witness whatever comes up in the mind or the body and recognize it without condemning it or pursuing it, knowing that our judgments are unavoidable and necessarily limiting thoughts about experience. What we are interested in meditation, is direct contact with the experience itself, whether it is of an in-breath, an out-breath, a sensation or feeling, a sound, an impulse, a thought, a perception, or a judgment. And we remain attentive to the possibility of getting caught up in judging the judging itself, or in labeling some judgments as good and others bad. While our thinking colors all our experience, more often than not, our thoughts tend to be less than completely accurate. Usually, they are merely uninformed private opinions, reactions, and prejudices based on limited knowledge and influenced primarily by our past conditioning. All the same, when not recognized as such and named, our thinking can prevent us from seeing clearly in the present moment. We get caught up in thinking we know what we're seeing and feeling, and in projecting our judgments out onto everything we see off a hairline trigger. Just being familiar with this deeply entrenched pattern and watching it as it happens can lead to greater non-judgmental receptivity and acceptance. A non-judging orientation certainly does not mean that you cease knowing how to act or behave responsibly in society, or that anything anybody says is okay. It simply means that we can act with much greater clarity in our own lives and be more balanced, more effective, and more ethical in our activities if we know that we are immersed in a stream of unconscious liking and disliking which screens us from the world and from the basic purity of our own being. The mind states of liking and disliking can take a permanent residency in us, unconsciously feeding addictive behaviors in all domains of life. When we are able to recognize and name the seeds of greediness or craving, however subtle, in the mind's constant wanting and pursuing of the things or results that we like, and the seeds of aversion or hatred in our rejecting and maneuvering to avoid the things we don't like, that stops us for a moment and reminds us that such forces really are at work in our own minds to one extent or another almost all the time. It's no exaggeration to say that they have a chronic, viral-like toxicity that prevents us from seeing things as they actually are and mobilizing our true potential.